The following message is brought to you by Christian Sermons Online, broadcasting Christ-centered messages around the world 24 hours a day. Check us out at christiansermonsonline.com. Sometimes
now, again this year, Brother Swaggart and the entire team have traveled to Manila for a series of meetings in the Arenada Coliseum. Please join the thousands already gathered on this specific night to hear, in its entirety, Brother Swaggart's soul-stirring message on the Great White Throne Judgment.
If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, tonight to the book of Revelation, Chapter 20, starting with the 11th verse, and the Word of God tells us this: "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." Notice the terminology. "And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want to use for a subject, preaching a few minutes tonight, the Great White Throne Judgment. A short time ago, the team was in San Antonio, Texas, for a crusade. God moved in a great way in that South Texas City, one of the largest in the United States of America. In that city years ago, San Antonio, there was a trial that took place. A young man had allegedly murdered a woman. The trial had aroused the interest, the curiosity of the entire city. Every day the courtroom would be packed to capacity without even standing room for people to hear the proceedings. The young boy that had allegedly murdered the woman was of Spanish extraction. They were very poor people. And there was another young boy, also of Spanish extraction, that shined shoes for a living, later became a great preacher of the gospel. And he would leave the streets where he would shine shoes every day at a certain hour and go in and observe the trial. He was young. He could squeeze in, lean up against the wall, put his shoeshine kit down beside him, and watch the proceedings. Finally, the day came for the jury to go out and to bring back a verdict. Every available space in that courtroom was filled. Every square inch up beside of the walls, people were packed several deep, standing to hear the verdict of the jury when they were supposed to come back in. They filed in. That young boy years later wrote this and said he would never forget it, and I don't doubt it. He said the foreman of the jury stood to his feet and said, Your Honor, after careful consideration and deliberation, we find the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree. And he summoned that young man, the judge did, to his desk. And there before that packed courtroom, he said, Young man, you have been found guilty by a jury of your peers. Guilty of murder in the first degree. And I condemn you to die by the hangman's gallows and for the rope to be placed about your neck until you are dead. When the judge gave his verdict, that boy said something happened that would forever mark itself in the recesses of his brain and sear his heart. That boy's mother that had sat there day after day, day after day, this was her only son. When the judge handed down his verdict, that woman, that mother with a mother's heart screamed. That young boy said it was like the scream of hell, the scream of the damned. It literally pierced that courtroom and struck deep into the heart of every person that was there as she screamed over and over again. He said he would never forget it. I can understand why. There is another trial that is coming. As horrifying as that one momentarily that I have mentioned to you, this one will pale into insignificance any other trial that's ever been conducted. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Many of you that are seated here, you've heard of it. You don't quite understand it. Hundreds of thousands of you, maybe millions, but television, you've heard of it. You do not understand it either. Some have been led to believe at the great white throne judgment that every human being that's ever lived is going to be there, but that's not so. Some have been led to believe at the great white throne judgment spoken of in the book of Revelation chapter 20. That God will judge some guilty and some innocent, but that's not so. At the great white throne judgment that will take place, there will not be one solitary child of God that will be there. There will not be one Christian there. There will not be one born-again person there. There will not be one saved man, woman, boy, or girl that will be at the great white throne judgment. Everyone that will be there will be lost. All the way from Adam up until that moment, every single solitary human being that has ever lived on the face of this planet will stand in that day before God. The books will be opened. Every single thing you've ever done, every lie that's ever told, every profanity that's come from your lips, every vulgarity, everything you've ever stolen, every bitterness, every rancor, every wrath, every murder, every deceit, every bitterness, it's all in the books. God and His Son Jesus Christ will be the judge. There will be three horrible things about this judgment. Not one single solitary soul at this judgment will be set free. Now that sounds strange, but that's the way it is. Not one will be given a reprieve, not one will be given a stay, not one will be set free of all the multiplied multiplicities of multitudinous millions, hundreds of millions, even billions of human beings that will be standing there that day. Not one single solitary soul will be set free. Some have to ask the question, why would God have a judgment of this nature? Why would he call it a judgment? If not one person will be set free, I pray God that none of you are there. Is that the cameras span this vast Colosseum here in the heart of one of the greatest cities on the face of the earth, Manila, in the Philippines. I pray that not a one of you, as you look at this preacher, some of you young, some of you old, but I pray God that you won't be there. I pray God that you never walk before that great white throne. I pray God that not a one of you ever stand there. Because every single soul that will be there will be lost forever and forever. That's what the Bible says. And why will God conduct such a trial? Is God a monster? Is he sadistic? Does he delight in torture? No. The very term, great white throne, means eternal righteousness and justice. That great white throne will be held and conducted because of the fairness, the justice, the mercy, and the compassion of God. Not one soul will be sent to hell. Not one soul will be lost, but that the books will be opened. And they will be without excuse. They will see with their eyes. It will be irrefutable. No way they can say, I wasn't treated fairly. I did not get a fair trial. No way they can say, I'm not guilty. Because it's in the books. Do you see and feel what I'm giving you tonight? You see, the world thinks somehow I'll beat the rap. Some of you here in this place, you've been fighting a battle for months as the Holy Spirit has been dealing with your soul. And you think, I can get by. Some of you in this building right now, you're stealing on the side. You think your employer doesn't know it, or your loved ones don't know it. They may not know it, but God knows it, and it's going down in the books. Mister, you may think you're getting by with the way that you're treating your wife. You may think she does not know about your perfidious life and the adultery and the fornication. And you sit smug and thinking, I can beat the rap. I can beat the game. But mister, there is a God in heaven that hears every profanity, that hears every dirty joke, that hears every foul word, that hears every dirty design, that looks at everything that you do. And it's written down in the book. No deed escapes his attention. You listen to this evangelist tonight. This world is a cruel, uneven, unfair place. There's no justice in it. I have looked into the eyes of starving little children. I have seen them stand with bloated, swollen bellies. I have seen them with their little legs so thin that it wouldn't hold their frail little bodies because of starvation. and in New York City and Los Angeles, California, they light up their cigarettes with $100 bills, smoke their coke, their cocaine. There's no fairness. There's no justice in this world system. Millions are struggling and trying to find just enough bread to keep hunger away. And can't make it. And others burn money. It's no justice, it seems. It's no fairness. Let me tell you this. God sees it. They may think they get by. Evil men that would have no concern for you, that would have no concern for their fellow man, that would have no concern, no compassion. Get what I want, do what I want to do. Let me live like I want to live, and I don't care who I have to crush to do it. There is a God one day that will call them to account. Do you hear what I'm saying? The unfairness, the evil, the wickedness, the millions upon millions that are dying with starvation, those that don't have a prayer, one day it will be set right. One day God will call them to account. One day God will even it out. I held a little girl in my arms some time ago. She was about 12 years old. She looked like she was 6 years old. I wrote back the other day and I asked, I said, did they make it? Those that I'd held in my arms in Africa. Those that I had looked as their hair turned orange and fallen out because of starvation. Those little bellies swollen. Did they make it? The missionary wrote back and said, no, they didn't make it. They died. I don't know if you feel like I feel or not. I picked up a paper the other day and a woman cries and weeps. And she says that we could just have a little rice once a week. If we could have just a handful of rice, not every day. We don't ask for it every day. Just once a week. Just once a week. We would be satisfied. God's heart is hurt a million times more than mine is or yours is. And one day He's going to set it right. It will not be like this forever. The world may think they're getting by. They'll live like they want to live. They'll push down. They'll kick down. They'll run over. They'll do what they want to do. But one day there will be a reckoning. One day there will be a judgment. One day God Almighty will call to account. And the books will be opened. The books will be open. And everything that's ever been done, every foul deed, every dirty design, every hellish horror, every filthy moment, every sin, every wickedness, every iniquity. It's written in the book. And the eternal justice and fairness of God will point it out and say, you have no excuse. You did it. You did it. Something is going to happen at the great white throne judgment that most do not know about. We preachers talk about people going to hell, and when they go to hell, they'll never get out, but that's not quite right. There is one time, and this Bible says it, that hell will open its doors and empty itself. And every soul that's ever gone to hell, in the 16th chapter of the book of St. Luke, when Jesus told of that man that went to hell and was tormented in the flame and cried for just a drop of water to touch his tormented, parched tongue, that man's going to get out of hell. But that man will wish he could have stayed there. Every soul will be brought out of hell to stand before God, to stand before the one they've cursed, they've maligned, they've laughed at, they've lampooned, they've profaned his holy name. And they don't want to stand there before God. But at the great white throne judgment, they will stand there before him. Hell will give up its dead. The millions will stand in haunted, ghastly horror before that great white throne. And I want you to think of this. As the millions upon millions upon millions are brought out of hell, and they stand there, they've come from the pit. They've come from eternal torment. They've come from agony and pain that beggars and defies description. They've come from a horror that no mind could grasp and no tongue could tell, that no man could ever write on paper. They've come from a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and they'll stand before the great white throne of God. And they will see, and if you are there, God forbid, you will see what you have missed. You will see that city built four square. You will see the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. You will see the gold that's upon the streets. You will see the tree of life that grows by the side of the sparkling river and the river of life. You will see it all, the mansions upon mansions that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Halababashandra Busai. They will see it. They will see that which they could have had, which they could have enjoyed forever and forever, knowing they will never be able to walk upon its hallowed streets. They will never be able to pass through its pearl. They will never be able to look upon those mansions. They will never be able to look upon the face of the angels. They will never be there, because only those who have had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and are washed in the blood of the Lamb and cleansed by Calvary's flow will walk into that city and live there forever and forever. But they'll miss it. Then that fling at the gambling tables won't seem so exciting that you sold out for. Girl, when you gave yourself in filth and illicit sex to win the plaudits of a worldly, carnal, sensual crowd, it won't seem so exciting then. You have missed it. You have missed it. You have missed it. Some there, the whole family will be saved, but one, and the one will be there, lost forever. The books will be opened. Now, your only chance is to miss it. And the reason that most are going to be there, I don't say that with any gladness or any joy. I don't say it with any spirit of entertainment. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Do you realize tonight how fortunate you are? Do you really realize it? Do you really realize how fortunate you are? Some of you sat in this Coliseum and you said, Jimmy Swaggart, if I could only live in America. You've got so much this, so much that. If I can, I don't know if you think that or not, but maybe some of you would. But let me tell you this. You are the most fortunate people on the face of this entire earth, anywhere, anytime, any place. You say, Jimmy Swaggart, you don't know some of our problems. Some of us here are having it rough. Some of us are having it hard. I'm sure that's true. But I'll say this and I'll keep shouting it. You are still a million light years ahead of the richest man on the face of the earth if he doesn't know Jesus. And the reason you are so fortunate, and you ought to get up and shout every day, I don't care what your circumstances are, is because you found Jesus Christ, and he lives within your heart, and your name has been written down in that Lamb's book of life, and you are saved, 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 saved. Glory to God. The reason that millions and millions and millions and millions are going to hell, and they're going to stand at that great white throne judgment, and they're going to hear God Almighty say, depart, I've never known you. The reason is because Satan has deceived them. Satan has deceived them. Millions upon millions are deceived. Many of you watching me by television right now, you have conjured up your own way of salvation. Were somebody to ask you if you're saved, you'd say, yes, I'm saved. And why are you saved? I'm saved because I do good, or I don't hurt anybody, or I haven't done anything bad, or I've never killed anybody, and whatever the case may be. Friend, you're deceived. You're deceived. You're deceived. Others of you say, well, I gave some money to this, I did this, and I gave some money to that. Others would say, well, I'm educated, I've been to the finest universities, and I'm refined, and I'm cultured. I'm not like those others that don't know, and I'm somebody. You know what God says you are? He says you are miserable and poor and blind and naked. You're deceived. You're deceived. Millions will go to hell and they'll stand there in open-mouthed astonishment and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. Deceived. Because Satan is the master of deception. The only one that can take you through to where you stand in that city built four square is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the fairest of 10,000, Jesus. I pray God, not a one of you here in this place, I pray God, not a one of you but television will be there. Many nights I go home and I don't sleep much at night. Because I see your faces. Many nights I say, God, we came so close, but they still didn't come. If you miss it, you miss God, and you're there, and your name is called, and you stand before the great white throne in the presence of God. God, no, 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 no. Wait a minute. You say, God, it's not fair. It's not fair. Time will lose its meaning. You're back in a strange place called Jerusalem. The sun has not yet risen, but when it rises, it will be the blackest day of infamy the world ever knew. For today, God will die. Today, heaven will be draped in mourning. Today, God will pull the blinds because he can't look. Today, Jesus will take my place. And you'll watch him. They strip his garment from his back. They press victor's thorns, 8 inches long, on his head. The scalp is the most tender part of the human anatomy, and it swells to twice its normal size in seconds. A big Roman takes a whip and starts to beat his back. And angels must have said, "Why? And the flesh hangs down his back, and they take his beard and pull it from his cheeks until he looks like an animal. And you see it. And they lay a tree on the back. And the Galilean dragged it over a trail of bloody footprints to the top of Holy Hill. And they nail him to a tree. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And a dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may we, though vile as he, wash all our sins away. And you'll say, yes, God, I deserve hell forever. And he'll say, depart. I've never known you. And in that moment, the case will be closed. And the books will be shut. It's your choice. It's your decision. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I've done my best tonight. I ask that God the Holy Ghost would move through this audience. All over this building, I'm asking that the heaviest Holy Ghost conviction would penetrate deep into the hearts of every person. Christians that are hiding sin, backsliders that have gone away from God, the unsaved that has rebelled. Holy Ghost conviction, sweet mightily. Your heads are bowed, and I'm asking that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of godly people will pray. Pray not only for those here in this Coliseum, but for the millions that watch by television all over the world. Pray. Pray that they'll say yes to Jesus. Because it's mercy now or judgment later. I want everyone in the building to stand, please. Everybody standing. I'm going to ask every one of you that raised your hands, wherever you are standing in this place, I want you to come and stand right up here. Some of you didn't raise your hand, but God is speaking to your soul as well. And He's telling you it's time. I want you to come. As they sing it, step on out right now.
Ask me now, oh gentle Savior.
Swaggart, a moment. Those of you watching by television, please, I want you to look at me. Pay careful attention for the next few seconds. It will be, for some of you, the most important moment of your life, of eternity. I want you to look at me now, those of you that are standing here. All of you, please, for just a few moments. I want you to know this. God loves every one of you. I don't care who you are. Some of you standing here, your parents may be wealthy, or you may be wealthy, but He loves you. Others of you standing here, you may not even know who your parents are, but God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much, He said, if you'll accept me, I'll give you eternal life. He said, I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Millions of homes in Asia and Africa, in Europe, in Central America, the Caribbean, South America, North America, the islands of the sea. Millions upon millions, if you believe it, every sin is going to be washed away. Gone. 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 Hallelujah. You see, I have his promise. He said, to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. I won't turn him away. I'll open the door and tell him, come on in. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. I want you to pray it with me. I want you to say it out loud. I want you by television to do it too. And I want you to mean it with all of your heart. I don't want you to ever have to say it again. I want this night to be the last time. For many of you, the first time and the last time. Because you're coming to Jesus and you'll never have to say it anymore. You'll pray a lot, but you won't have to say this anymore. If you believe God. And would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Those by television, do the same thing, please, in your homes, motels, wherever you are. Now let us pray. Donnie's going to help you. Thousands of people are praying for you. This is your moment. Dear God in heaven, I thank you so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, born of the Virgin Mary, that we may be saved. He shed his life's blood, and tonight I give him my life. I give him my heart. According to his word, Romans 10. With my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's alive. And because he lives, I shall live also. Tonight, I believe him. I accept him. I will follow him. I'll follow him forever. And according to his word, I know it. I'm washed. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I am saved.
I am saved.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Is tested by some bitter trial. When the tempter tries to tempt me in life's way, when darkness dreary falls across my journey, that's when Jesus gives a very special grace. Oh, grace to you. I know that I was never, never worthy. My sin demanded I be punished too. Then I heard that Jesus took my place on Calvary. And his very special grace was there to see me through.
That I might see.
washed my eyes with tears. That I might see. He wanted the glory of himself. Revealed to me. I did not know that he had wounded hands. Until I saw the marks, the blood that day left on the sands. I saw the marks of shame. I wept and I cried. He was my substitute. Yes, yes, yes. For me he died. And now I'm glad he came so tenderly. And washed my eyes with tears. That I might see. And washed my eyes with tears, and I might see.
Yeah. come, oh, come, oh, come up out of the ground. There ain't no grave.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For further information and to discover other sermons, visit us at christiansermonsonline.com.